Welcome to EJB Talks, Rutgers Blaustein School experts in policy, planning, and health, where we talk with our faculty and staff experts, as well as students, about how the fields of public policy, urban planning, public health, health administration, and public and urban informatics affect your lives. Welcome to EJB Talks. I'm Stuart Shapiro, the interim dean of the Blaustein School, and the purpose of this podcast is to highlight the work being done by my colleagues and our alumni in the fields of policy, planning, and health. We're spending this, our eighth season, speaking with our new faculty here at the Blaustein School. We hired 10 people in a wide array of fields, as the podcast episodes this season will show. Today, we're talking to one of our new professors in the public policy program, the program nearest and dearest to my heart, Professor Ruth Weinkauf. Welcome to the podcast, Ruth.
Thanks so much for having me, Stuart.
So you are looking at a very interesting area, questions around municipal bonds. And before I get into the specific questions, because you've got a lot of fascinating work on this, how'd you get interested in municipal bonds?
So, I mean, it's a great question. It was not a burning, passion since childhood.
As a five-year-old, you weren't right. I need to study municipal bonds.
Right. So before I started my PhD and decided to be an academic researcher, I did a master of public affairs at the same school I ultimately got my PhD in, the Anna University's School of Public and Environmental Affairs. And so I was coming from a bachelor's in econ. I knew that I wanted to be in the public finance space, partly for just very practical reasons. A lot of jobs, right? A lot of good jobs. And within that, I don't know, it just kind of appealed. It was a niche topic, a little bit cool, a little bit, and very highly technical. So one of the things that I really liked about my econ coursework was just that it was technical, that it was a lot of numbers and detailed, mathematical work. So I thought I was going to be going into either working as a consultant to agencies or working within an agency itself. I kind of wanted to be, with my spreadsheets. So, and then it was cemented. I did a full-time internship over the summer during my master's, and it was at a CPA firm that one of their lines of business was consulting municipal governments. And I did a lot in the municipal bond space. I was on calls with, Standard & Poor's for credit ratings and like bond auctions. And I really liked it. So kept going. And our faculty, IU has one of the sort of like leading public or municipal bond scholars. So it was just sort of available and kept going.
Yeah, it happened to a lot of us in one way or another. So for our audience who may not, and I don't know that I would have, certainly going into graduate school, understood the importance of municipal bonds and the role they play. Why are they such a big deal across the country?
Yeah, so in our system of fiscal federalism, the federal government, devolves a lot of responsibility to states and localities. And in this space in particular, two-thirds of the public infrastructure in the United States is financed through state and local bonds, right?
So two-thirds.
So our hospitals, our roads, our public schools, our fire stations, just basic, all the stuff that makes our, society run. If we need a building for it, if we need something, an expensive piece of equipment to provide public goods and services, good chance it's coming through the municipal bond market. It's a $4 trillion market. There's $4 trillion of municipal bonds outstanding. So not only is it important for, providing those public goods and services I just mentioned, but it's a pretty decent chunk of our financial system in addition.
Yeah, well, two-thirds of our infrastructure is pretty important.
Right.
So Dodd-Frank has been in the news a lot lately, mostly because of Silicon Valley Bank and the subsequent bank failures. But you've looked at a different aspect of it, particularly the aspect that affects the municipal bond market. Can you explain that to us?
Sure. Dodd-Frank, you know, as many of us know, was really in response to the 2008 financial crisis and then the consequent global recession. So there, you know, our regulators took and Congress took a good hard look at the financial system and wanted to try to prevent things like that happening again. And one area, there were definitely problems in the municipal market due to the financial crisis. And one area was that they had, some of our cities had kind of overextended themselves with derivatives and fancy swaps and things. And they mm-hmm. were doing that, you know, on the basis of advice from an industry of municipal advisors. So this group of firms or individuals, they were at that point completely unregulated by the federal government. So the feds are really hands off in terms of regulating the municipal bond market. And so Dodd-Frank was an example of them saying, maybe we'll step in a little bit more. So basically, they said the aspect that I've really looked into was they extended some, you know, professional licensing and exams to the municipal advisors involved in this. And so I took a look and said, well, did it help? Did it make a difference? And I find that indeed it did. Even sort of before all the rules and regulations got finished, it would appear that the quality of municipal advice from this sector improved in a way that resulted in really significant savings, right, for municipalities issuing bonds. So,
and I would assume much reduced risk as well.
Yeah, it's all tied up together, right? So right. If they're paying, if the greater the risk, the more interest you have to pay to borrow money. Yeah.
Right.
So we think in terms of if the lower, you know, if we see less lower interest rates, it implies lower risk. So,
right.
Yeah.
Do the municipalities appreciate that this has helped them, or is it, oh God, it's harder to get advice because there are fewer advisors out there? Why are the feds making it so hard for people to give us advice? Or do they see that, no, you're actually saving money from this?
You know, I got to punt on that. I don't know. We've got 50,000 states and localities. It's hard to get.
And you don't know what all of them think.
Yeah, it's hard to get a response from all of them. Yeah,
I could hypothesize either. You know, if they realize the savings, then obviously they see the benefit, but they could also be the additional difficulty in getting advice might be this sort of salient feature.
And there were major concerns about that. Like, is the regulatory burden going to push a lot of people out of the municipal advising space? And we did see a contraction in the number, but there's still plenty around. I don't uh-huh. think, yeah, I think we're fine.
Got it. That's great. All right. Let's switch gears to another piece of work of yours. There is the tendency, in part because municipal bonds do finance 2/3 of our infrastructure, they are a great tool to try and exercise policy influence in other areas. And so talk about the work on trying to use it to incentivize energy efficiency and what you found there.
Sure, thanks. Yeah, so I was sorting through bond data early on in my PhD, and I started to notice all these like kind of odd things in there, bond issues that didn't make sense to me. So that's what really got me started. There's a program called Property Assessed Clean Energy, which actually just got approved, I think last year in New Jersey. So keep an eye out for it. And the way that this program works is that states that authorize their localities to get involved in this program, once the states have authorized, then municipalities can decide whether they want to get involved or not. And basically, how it would work is, so, you know, I'm Susie homeowner, And I find out about this this program, and I say, well, I've been wanting to put solar panels on my house, but I don't know how to finance it, and I don't want to finance it up front, blah, blah, blah. So I find out about this program, I apply for it, I get approved, and my municipality uses their bond issuing authority, right, to issue a bond for me and maybe my neighbor or, you know, other people around to pay for those upfront costs rather than me going to the bank and, you know, maybe my credit history isn't so great. We don't want that to stop people from making energy upgrades. So the bonds pay for the upfront costs of the energy upgrades, and then they are paid off through that person's property taxes, right? And so it stays with the house. So it's a special assessment. So this, you know, the program was first adopted in California, like so many things are. So my co-author and I were able to access information on the bonds issued in California under this program, as well as the amount of energy used from the grid, you know, conventional energy consumption. And also there's reporting in California on the amount of distributed solar energy that's produced by households. So we were able to look, okay, in counties where people are, you know, doing this, do we see any benefit? And we found that while people don't necessarily reduce the amount of energy that they buy from the grid, the amount of solar energy went up, right? Okay. So at least some of their energy consumption was clean. Right. This is called the rebound effect. It's well known in environmental policy, where you may not actually reduce your overall consumption. You may actually increase it. Right. So we see an effect, and we're looking forward to looking into some other areas with this program, questions of equity. Who's using this program? Is it people who actually could just go to the bank and get a loan? Or is it actually opening up opportunities for people who otherwise would not have the chance to make these upgrades?
But if the core goal is cleaner energy, there is some effectiveness.
There is some effect, yeah. And we had about 10 years of data that we were able to look at, and we're hopeful that as things go forward, you know, it'll become even more impactful.
Gotcha. So we talked before we went on the air about your moving to New Jersey, and we talked about how there are more than 500 municipalities here in New Jersey. I actually was meeting with the Council of Mayors yesterday, and just as I was thinking about questions for this podcast, it hit me, sort of, what kind of advice in the municipal bond space would you give to mayors or town councils, particularly the small and medium-sized ones, which proliferate here in New Jersey?
Right. Yeah. So I think what I would generally say, you know, without knowing the specifics of any particular municipality, is pay attention to who you're getting your advice and your services for, especially small places. They really have to rely on these private sector firms, like the municipal advisors I was talking about. You know, these places should not have in-house expertise for issuing millions of dollars of bonds. That would be ridiculous. So they need to be able to rely on advisors and attorneys and the banks even that they're working with, to make the choices about who you're working with carefully and to evaluate every once in a while. So sometimes municipalities will just, they'll start working with one firm and then they never look back. So a little bit of evaluating, is this still good advice? Is this advice still serving me? I think that's the way I would advise. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. So you got excited about municipal bonds when you were a master's student. How do you get students excited about them?
Our students care so much about issues around climate change and social justice issues that once you start kind of making the connection between, you know, it's kind of easy to make the connection between just like money and these issues, like where's the money coming from?
Right.
But there's so many fascinating ways in which municipal bonds specifically impact this. You know, we're going to have to put a, everyone knows, we're going to have to put a lot of work into, especially our coastal cities, the infrastructure, as we deal with the consequences of climate change. Our credit rating agencies, Standard & Poor's and Fitch, they evaluate, you know, the risk of different governments, and that really affects how much they have to pay to borrow. They're starting to take into consideration, okay, well, is this city actually going to like flood every 10 years in a devastating way? And if they do, how are they going to pay off their debt? So these things are very important. Social justice issues, you know, what parts of a city get the sweet municipal bond deals that get them lovely parks, lovely safe parks to send their children to versus parts of the city that don't? That's all based on property taxes and sort of home values and where we've put people that to live in our, you know. So I think making that connection for them, I think, is really, it's actually pretty easy once you start. It seems like a dry technical topic, but it's pretty easy to motivate.
And schools too, obviously, if you care about education.
Absolutely.
You know, these bonds finance most of what we do because of fiscal federalism and educational federalism and all this kind of thing.
Including our universities. I mean, you're sitting in a house that, not in a house, sorry, you're sitting in a building.
It's become like a house, unfortunately.
Right? Yeah. You're sitting in a building that was financed by municipal bonds, right?
Right. So. Right. All right. So where do you go from here? Where do you see your research going?
So I'll keep working on the sort of financial intermediation piece, looking at the municipal advisors and banks and attorneys that help issuers. I'll definitely keep working in that space. It's kind of the near and dear to my heart. I'm really excited about a project that actually Blaustein gave me a nice little seed grant to pursue. I'm working with co-authors at Indiana University and Arizona State. There's anecdotal evidence that settlements for police misconduct cases for either the citizen who's harmed or their family in the case of their death, there's anecdotal evidence that these settlements are being financed through the municipal bond market, which means that A, there's probably really minimal transparency to citizens that they even know how this is happening, because how many people get into reading all the details in a municipal bond issue? There's also just intertemporal equity and intergenerational equity issues. Like when we issue municipal bonds, we're paying them off for decades. So we've got, you know, potentially we have police agencies that are sort of able to conceal, and other government agencies that are able to sort of conceal misconduct, and their citizens are paying for it way down the line. So we want to get into, okay, is this in fact happening? So we're in the data collection stage right now. And then we want to, in addition to that, obviously look at like, okay, is this a way, you know, if we bring this into the light, then is it a tool to incentivize police agencies to cut down on the misconduct, right? Because the consequences are so separated from them. So I'm really excited about that avenue of research, and I'm pleased that Blaustein's helping me out with it.
Excellent. And, you know, I think you make municipal bonds exciting. So,
that's what I want to hear.
Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks, Stuart. It was great talking to you.
And a big thanks also to Amy Cobb and Karen Olson, who make this podcast happen. We will see you next week with another talk from another expert at the Blaustein School. Until then, stay safe.